WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song!
This is the Firefly Funhouse! And I want to introduce you to some very special friends that I've met along the way.
This is EC3.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yeah, this is Broken Not Hottie. This is Christopher Daniels. And what I like to do on my off days is listen to the rap, and now you are too.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
You can look, but you can't touch.
Ruthless aggression.
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker. Taker, Taker, Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
Stickers! And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
If you smell... Ow! What the game is playing!
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Yowie wowie!
He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his
hands. And welcome everybody to Pop Goes the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. That's right, he's Rock, I'm Lindsay, and we have a special guest joining us, Brent, to help kick 2020 in the butt and send it on its way so we can welcome 2021 to our year, doorway, whatever thing. Anyway, we're excited because we have a lot of stuff in store for you. We've got a lot to go over, so if you get a chance, go check out MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. He's got some amazing stuff over there. And yeah, it's awesome. And I really don't want to talk about what we're about to talk about, but we have to talk about it because it's news and it's a thing and it's horrible and it's awful and it hurts on so many levels.
Yeah, it kind of does just hurt. So we had this whole idea for a show. We've actually had this idea for about 2 weeks now for Pop Goes the Rack. And we were going to look back at 2020. And that was going to be the entire show. That's what we're going to do. It's what we're going to focus on. And sort of just reflect on how wrestling has changed. And we're going to get to all that. That's going to be the second half. But on Saturday night, everything got flipped upside down, turned around, and the wrestling world, well, is in mourning.
We lost a good one, guys. We lost a really good one. Mr. Brody Lee, a.k.a. Luke Harper, a.k.a. John Huber, very sadly passed away at the age of 41 from a non-COVID-related lung disease. He's been struggling with it for about 2 months now. He's been hospitalized for at least that long, and unfortunately, he succumbed to it on Saturday. And this hurt.
Yeah, it hurts a lot. So the story making the rounds is he was working out or something on the Peloton, and his lungs just sort of stopped working. He just couldn't catch his breath and other things like that. And it just, it's an unfortunate tale. And he's been in the hospital since the end of October. No one really knew much. If you asked around, no one was really talking about it, I guess is the best way to phrase it. Because his wife and his family wanted to keep it private, as they should. And we talked about this Saturday, Brent. You noticed something when they were recording TV, what they did.
Yeah, there was, so on Wednesday, I
had left work, and, you know, Brock and I were messaging back and forth, the same with Lindsay, and I got a hold of the AEW taping results. And I was kind of like, oh, okay, they've already released the results. That's when Rock told me they were pre-taped.
They were pre-taped, and he was catching up for the week before, yeah. They were taping about this. The result he was reading was taped on, like, the 17th.
Right, it was just one of those things, like, I knew it had been preempted, so I was kind of like, oh, okay, the results leaked early. At the very end, there was this really interesting segment that involved Brody Lee's son. And essentially what happened was Kenny Omega dropped the title to Brody Lee Jr. And I was kind of like, oh, that's an interesting segment. And I was kind of, we kind of were talking back and forth, and it was like, yeah, Brody hasn't been around since, you know, the dog collar match. And the results were kind of saying, oh, well, maybe this is like a Christmas present for his son or something. And then Saturday hit, and that kind of took on a whole different meaning. Like, did, you know, maybe some people knew this was coming, and this was kind of like a tribute in a sense to the family, and maybe, you know, helping give the kids a little special piece of, you know, AEW. But yeah, it was like that moment hit, and it was kind of like, wow, This kind of changes things.
And it was more like, now when you think about it, it was a way for Brody to see his kid wrestle win a title, which is sad, but that's sort of what the idea, I would assume, was, just to give that one big moment he could see.
Well, and one of the things, so you've seen the outpouring from people about Brody. And that's how you can tell he's a beloved person in the industry. It's the fact that, like, the second this hit, it was just wave upon wave upon wave of messages that were flying in. But the one thing that they all had in common was not just, I mean, it was, well, first was shock. I think a lot of people were kind of shocked by the fact that he's 41 and he passed. But also, everyone talked about what a great husband he was and how much he loved his kids. And you started to see videos come out of, you know, him talking about his sons, him with his son at Access and getting the fans to chant Brody for his kid. You start to really see how much of a great dad he was. And that's what really kind of hurts about all of this.
Yeah, you saw the stuff he did with Up Up Down Down over the years. You knew how much he loved his kid and how his kid loved being around the boys. And it's heartbreaking. It's just flat out heartbreaking how it ended and how, like, what they've gone through for 2 months now, knowing that there was no help, I guess. I don't know if he was waiting for a transplant or just something. I don't know.
I think the Mayoville, I know the Mayo Clinic was involved because his wife put out a very sweet message after the news kind of broke, thanking them for everything that they had done and how hard they had tried for them. And yeah, I don't know if he was on the list for a transplant. I don't know exactly what was going on there, but it just, like you said, your heart just breaks for them because the outpouring of love has been absolutely real. And I feel like you can always tell the measure of somebody based on the way that people talk about them, based on the way people respond to when they pass. Because there's always the, you know, rest in peace, I'm going to miss you, the normal things that people say. But you have, like, people like Big E who are out there just posting story after story after story about Brody. And pictures and video. You have Kevin Owens doing the same thing. Bray Wyatt put out an absolutely sweet tribute, which makes you kind of shake your head at a couple things that he said, just because you're like, wow, man.
They wanted to be 70-year-old wrestlers at the gym cutting Wyatt promos on young people.
He's like, how am I supposed to do that now? Damn it. But I mean, just, it's the stuff like that and the people telling the humorous anecdotes about him. And like, Woods put out a lot of bloopers for Up, Up, Down, Down featuring Brody that showed how he really was.
That man takes his video games very seriously.
Yeah, he does.
Yes, he does. Very seriously.
He was the commish for them for a long time.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I was listening to the radio earlier today, and they had Sammy Callahan on, and he was talking about how, you know, him and the boys would, you know, go out drinking after shows. But he kind of, you know, he would look and, like, Brody would, you know, he might have a beer or two in, like, the hotel bar. But the thing he wanted to do was go up into the hotel rooms and play games with the boys. You know, someone would break out an Xbox or a PS or whatever they had. and he would just sit there and play games, and just he would stir so much shit amongst everyone else in kind of a fun way. But Sammy was kind of like, that's what kind of changed my view a little bit of like, well, maybe we don't have to go out. Maybe we can have, you know, if Brody's doing this, you know, maybe we can just hang back and, you know, shoot the shit.
Yeah. And Woods talked about how, like, he always knew Brody would be the one guy who would always really come on that adventure. Wherever, whatever city they were on, he would be the one coming out on the adventure and willing to do that. And you've seen Kevin Owens post videos about it and Cesaro and talked about it and everyone who's just talked about him, and everyone has a Brody story.
What I thought was sweet was like Dax put out a tweet talking about how he and his wife had suffered a miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
And how Brody and his wife had called them to offer their condolences and their support and their love. And you hear about people who even met him once, you know, he was supporting them. He was friendly to them. He was a leader to them. And he was that guy that you can tell carried that level of love and respect that he had earned, not through necessarily his work in the business, although he certainly did. He earned it through the way that he conducted himself in the business.
Yeah. Another way that he helped take care of people was, I mean, in this current crop of AEW, you know, he's helping the young guys. There is a story put out by John Silver that, like, recently Brody spent over $1,000 on gear for John Silver for things like being the Elite and regular, which included making a coat, which was just like his, and getting him matching gear and just, like, helping his character out. And this is stuff that Brody just did by himself. It wasn't, you know, oh, he got the company to pay it. No, it's like, no, Brody paid $1,000 to get him gear because it would help him.
Yeah, just to make him get him over.
Right, to look the part and get him over and get him as part of the thing. And again, today with being the Elite, one of the first times I've ever watched the show, but they had a bunch of bloopers and a bunch of, you know, like segments with him and the Dark Order, and they were all
throwing the papers in people's faces. I don't watch the show often.
Throwing the paper.
But yeah, him just smacking them with the papers.
But I love, like, John Silver would break, and Brody had the thing of, like, referencing him crying, because he knew that Silver couldn't keep it together, so it was just referencing, you know, are you crying, instead of calling him out for laughing.
Because you can't do that take 17 times.
Right! But you just see Silver there just losing his shit because Brody's going so over the top and just embodying this crazy character. And everyone is just sitting there like, oh my god. But you have to stay going.
Mm-hmm.
It was just remarkable to see this and just how into it he was and just how much he wanted to help get this idea over.
I love the story about the Dana poses.
Yeah, how many Dana poses can you get in?
That was great.
Okay, so the one other thing I like about it, like everyone's tribute, everyone has the Harper selfie.
Yes.
Yes.
Where he just sticks his head into the picture.
The Harper photo bomb.
Yeah. Everyone has one of those where it's either he's giving the middle finger or just sticking, making a face or something. Like, they're doing, like, there's one with Carmella where she's all posing, like, and he just stares at the camera.
I just love that he just had that dead stare that he could just do, that he was just like, he just stand there and look at the camera, and it's like, aw, Harper, aww.
Like, go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say that, like, I just love all the pictures of him that are coming out. Like, Becky Lynch posted a bunch from their adventures in, like, Tokyo,
mm-hmm.
and of him in, like, her hat and goggles.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It's been great. Okay, so want to address a couple of things. By the time you listen to this, AEW has put on a fantastic tribute on Dynamite for Brody Lee. They took whatever their show was and they pushed it back a week, and they dedicated the entire show to Brody.
It's a celebration of life for him.
Celebration of life. They put together his son's three favorite wrestlers as a team to fight on the show. Like, that's perfect.
I like how they even play off the fact that it's like Ten was one of the Nightmare.
Was one of Cody's students, yeah.
And he turned his back and joined the Dark Order, but he's putting that aside for one night so that he can team with Cody and Orange against Team Taz for, you know, Brody Jr.'s favorite team.
Yeah.
And I like how they have the Dark Order in every match.
Mm-hmm.
There's
mm-hmm.
just one or two people in every bit, and it's a nice touch, and it's one of those things. When I saw the card earlier today, I messaged Rock, and I was just like, this is something that I will absolutely give AEW, like, 100% kudos for, because they're handling this so well.
It's so sweet.
And to address it, no, WWE didn't do a full-on tribute to him. Yes, they put out a whole bunch of stuff on Twitter and social media, which was fantastic. They put out the old documentary about him. They shared the best of. It's been all over the WWE Network. They did the graphic at the beginning of the show on Monday Night Raw, and the wrestlers pay tribute in their own way.
They will likely continue to pay tribute in their own way.
But it's AEW's responsibility to put on the tribute show, because that was his employer.
I mean, it would have been cool if WWE had done it, but here's the thing. Then that's like, well, they're just trying to outshine AEW. They're trying to outdo AEW, and that would be the commentary. And I don't think that's what this situation needs. I think WWE absolutely kind of had the right response, in the sense of, we're going to do our tribute. We're going to say goodbye to him, but they're going to let AEW have the show, because he worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
And at least that's the narrative that I'm seeing, is that WWE is going to do what they're going to do, but ultimately they're going to let AEW have the big tribute, because they should have the big tribute.
And the one thing I'll also say about this is, we recently saw someone else pass in the WWE and how they handled it. Don't forget, they did it across three shows.
Yeah.
They had a little bit at Raw, they had a little bit at NXT, they had a little bit at SmackDown. I wouldn't be surprised if you saw something very similar in this respect. If there's a little something on NXT, because, you know, yeah, Harper came through the NXT ranks. That's where the Wyatts got started. And they made the leap. Seth even referenced that, the fact that they didn't really meet up in NXT. He had left with the Shield, and then the Wyatts caught fire there and made the jump up top. But, you know, Harper was across all three. Brody was across all three brands. So I wouldn't be surprised if the WWE touches on it across the three brands, because he had an influence on all three.
The only thing that's really unfortunate, and I feel bad for him, is Bray, because he is off TV right now due to a storyline, and I think he very much would have loved to have been on Raw. I think he very much would have loved to have paid tribute to Brody in person on TV, but unfortunately I don't think he can right now because of what's going on, and you know that's hurting him quite a bit. But yeah, I would agree. I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see something on SmackDown and probably NXT where everybody pays their tribute, and we may see a Tim Bell salute on NXT, we may see it on SmackDown. It didn't happen on Raw, but that doesn't mean that it can't happen on one of the other two shows.
Right.
It depends on how they want to handle it. But I think what AEW is doing for him and what they have done for him and his family is absolutely commendable. I think the way that they're trying their best to distract his sons and keep their mind off of it, keep them happy, make them happy, I think is absolutely awesome. Brody Jr., I think, was at the Jaguars game on Sunday
mm-hmm.
with JR and some of the crew, having a good time, trying to lighten the mood, I feel like, and just really generally help them get through it, because it's such a hard thing. Because his boys are so young. I don't think his son is 10. His eldest son is 10.
Brody Jr.'s 8.
Yeah. I believe. Yeah. And his other son, I think, is like maybe 4 or 5. They're very, very young. And it's just unfortunate that they've lost their father, because I know if he'd had his brothers, he wouldn't have gone. He would have stayed and been there for his boys, to watch his boys grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very sad, and it's very unfortunate, and it hurts.
It does.
It really does.
That said, it sucks he's gone. We hope his family, you know, I don't know. You hope his family can recover, and I don't know, best wishes go out. One quick thing before we go to break. It's awesome that CM Punk, Mick Foley, Pro Wrestling Tees are giving all proceeds to his family for their shirts at Pro Wrestling Tees for the month of January. That's awesome.
If anyone has any disposable Christmas income.
Yeah.
Yeah. Please go buy the shirts. Please go spend the money to help support his family. I would say, just based on the amount of pledges and everybody swearing that they've seen, you know, that they're going to stand by his family, they're going to take care of them, all of that, I hope they stand by those pledges. I hope they really do. And I hope the wrestling community as a whole, not even make this brand specific, but the wrestling community as a whole really does come together to help and take care of his family. And I think they will.
just because he was so loved.
Yeah.
And I hope that his wife can find comfort and peace, and I hope that his sons can find comfort and peace in this. And I hope that they, like you said, that they can move forward. But with that, I say we take a break.
Yeah, let's go to break, come back, and we'll touch on other things, as it were.
So I say, yeah, we'll talk about the rest of 2020 and the dumpster fire that it was. So everybody, you're listening to Pop Goes the Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Are you following us on twitch.tv/WTR Live? Do you have Amazon Prime? If so, you can link it to your Twitch account and subscribe to our Twitch channel for free with Twitch Prime. It's the easiest way to help support us for free.
Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
What is the greatest of all time? Saturday nights. We decide from sports, video games, movies, and even the X-rated. You help us decide what is the greatest of all time. It is the Greater Than Great Debate, a part of your Saturday night.
Event.
CB Radio. Saturday night. Midnight to Houston. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Did you know you can use support a creator code Rock and Sock in the Fortnite item shop? That's R-O-C-K-N-S-O-C-K in the Fortnite item shop. Hashtag ad because we are a hashtag epic partner.
WWE superstar Natalya, and you're listening to The Rack Radio Show.
And welcome back to Pop Goes The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. We hope you enjoyed our tribute to one John Huber, aka Brody Lee, aka Luke Harper, gone far too soon. We will definitely miss him, but his passing wasn't really the only thing that happened in 2020. It has been, in general, a dumpster fire of a year, I think, for everybody. I think we can all safely say that the year that started off with so much hope and so much promise has just been an entire cluster, one month after another, to the point that you're almost afraid of what the next month's gonna bring. Am I right?
Yeah, it's just been one of those years, and we were talking before we started this whole thing, and stuff we're gonna get into went, wait, that happened this year? It felt that long ago, and yet it wasn't that long ago.
One of my favorite things from this past year, non-wrestling related, was there was a comedian who filmed a video that was like her future self going back in time, like 3 months, and couldn't tell her exactly what happened, but was just like hinting at all of the stuff that has happened. And it was like, oh yeah, there was the Australian fires.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and then this happened. And then this, and it was one of those, like, by the end, you know, someone's going back to October, and the person in October is just like, who cares? Things can't get worse. And it's like, well, they're like, you gotta be kidding.
Well, so, but yeah, the Australian fires were this year. What's
that
sad is
the
I have
start.
I had forgotten about that in the start of almost World War III. Like, that almost happened. Like, that's the thing. It's like, this year feels like it has been 5 years long. Like, it has just... I think part of it is because a lot of us have been quarantining and stuck in our homes and trying our best to stay safe and not go out and not do things and not travel. And so it's just every day is the exact same. It's Groundhog Day over and over and over again. We've been living Groundhog Day for almost a year now. It's crazy.
It is crazy. And we have to look at how WWE and AEW started this year. And it started with so much promise.
It did. So in January, right? January, February, beginning of this year, when COVID was just a distant rumor, way off in the distance, we had an R-rated return at the Royal Rumble. After what, 7 years, Edge made his return to wrestling?
That pop from my crowd.
Oh my god, crowds. Do you remember crowds?
I don't remember crowds. It's been forever since I've seen a legitimately crowd around a ringside area.
The funny thing about that was, going into Rumble, it's like there were a couple of stories going on. You're like, okay. There was the vague rumor that, you know, Edge could be back. But you were kind of like, oh, that would be really fun to see, but it won't happen. And we got, you know, Brock in the Rumble match, which was exactly...
Remember when everybody, like, shit all over that?
Yeah.
Everyone shit all over it, but the funny thing is for the first half of the match, while it may have been slow, you had a lot of moments when you go back and look at it that you were like, holy shit. Like, Big E taking on Brock Lesnar, and you kind of went, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Then Keith Lee walked out.
You went like,
Brock,
okay.
Like, ooh, that's a big boy.
Oh, big boy. Me play with big boy? Yeah.
And just like the little screenshot you got of them interacting, you were going, oh God, please let this happen. And then Edge hit after other stuff happened in the match. And my favorite moment from that was when he walked out and you could see the moment hit him. And he had that disbelief look of looking at all of the fans and going, oh my God, I am actually back home.
Do you remember we actually didn't get to see the big moment?
We did, yes. The camera was on other people.
He hit the spear. Wait, what? What? Where?
And they cut away from the spear, and they edited it into the network version really quick.
It's the second time they've had a reveal like that the production people have fucked up.
And you're just, everybody's sitting here just yelling at Kevin Dunn, like, what are you doing?
It's Edge, you show that first spear so everyone pops. Damn it.
We heard the pop, we just didn't see it.
And then he did about five more afterwards, and we're like, okay.
But it's the first one.
Including taking AJ out.
It's the first one. 7 long years, or however long he was gone. All that time, we have waited and hoped and prayed and silently, you know, told ourselves it's never gonna happen. And then... miracle of miracles, it happens. He's back. He's returned to us, and we miss it.
It was about,
because Kevin Dunn had the camera pointed in the wrong angle.
I think it was 9 years. I think, because he retired right after 27. So this year,
yeah, he had the Mania 27 match, and then,
which I was there for.
Yeah.
I was there for Edge's technical last match.
Yeah.
But I would just like to thank Daniel Bryan for the possibility of this happening, because he was the benchmarker of, there's no way we'll ever see him back in the ring again.
You're thanking the wrong person.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony Khan, for starting AEW.
Yes! Yes, also! That too!
Cause
thank you for starting the bidding war.
You started a bidding war, and if he's going to make a return somewhere... it's going to be in the E, not in the AE.
But also, don't forget, that show was also where we had the wrestling couple competing on the same night. They had to find a babysitter, for God's sake, because Beth was in the Women's Rumble.
Yeah.
Like,
that
you
was
do.
Another surprise.
Hey, if Dad's going to be there, Mom's going to be there. That's just how this works. Actually, technically, she was there for NXT.
I was going to say, the funny thing is she was there first, because the women's match was on earlier.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of thing, like, we saw Beth, and we're like, oh, cool. And then she got busted open the hard way, and I think we spent half the match going, wait, did she? Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Did she the back going? Of her head? Like, mm-hmm. It was just red. It was just drenched.
But she didn't care. She just kept going. She kept being Beth, which was like, yes.
And back then, The crowd was getting behind some young upstart named Drew McIntyre. They were chanting along with him as he got on his road to WrestleMania. Good times. He was actually becoming a big babyface with the crowd.
Mm-hmm. They had the countdown for the Claymore.
Yeah.
And when he hit Brock with that thing, that place erupted.
Yep.
He took out Godzilla in one swoop, and the entire fan base lost it because they're like, okay, the match can begin now.
And then we learned for the first time ever an NXT championship was going to be defended at WrestleMania. And we were all like, oh, okay. And it's Rhea Ripley.
And they did such a wonderful job because 2019 was essentially Rhea Ripley's coming out party.
Yeah, the fall of it where she, Survivor Series and everything. She was, it was her time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were pushing her and, I'm sorry, go ahead.
She just happened to win the belt right before the new year when everyone flooded the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Ended the reign of Shayna Baszler.
Mm-hmm.
Sending Shayna Baszler to Raw and SmackDown. And
yeah.
Where she was taking a nosedive.
Where she was going, she went and she was fighting Becky at WrestleMania.
After taking a piece of Becky, literally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was a debut.
That was interesting creative, to say the least. So yeah, that was a thing. And then on the other side, was me and Brent were talking about, Jon Moxley became your world champion, defeating late champion in February.
I had to fact check that. It felt so much longer ago. It was only February.
It was only February. It was legit only February. It was whatever the February pay-per-view was called.
Revolution.
Yeah.
And then they announced that they were going to be doing shows in the Northeast, which was a big deal because they were they were touring, but they weren't heavily touring. And so, they were going to do Blood and Guts. And
yeah,
they were going to do the Elite versus the Inner Circle.
Yeah, their version of War Games. Blood and Guts, because that was the thing Vince said on the conference call one month, where it's like, we're not a Blood and Guts company like them. So what do? They take the Blood and Guts name and we're going to use it against them. But they were touring, but Northeast is WWE territory. So getting in there, getting in New Jersey, where WWE runs, was a big deal for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a huge deal. Trying to get into the Garden.
Which they were trying to. They couldn't, but they were trying.
They were trying to get into there. They were doing Northeast New York, like Northern New York, where they were going to debut someone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This was...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They were, AEW was starting to really get that foothold, and, you know, honestly, Jericho was a good first champion, but they needed Moxley to be champ. There's something about him holding the belt that just, I want to say, drew a few more people to them.
The thing with Moxley is he has that grit, and he has that charisma, that just very natural, you're drawn to him kind of charisma, because he's the everyday guy, right? Like, you can, not that you can't picture Chris Jericho walking down the street, but it's like you could run into Jon Moxley anywhere, right? And he's the guy next door. He's the dude at the grocery store. He's whoever. He's your everyday guy who's just super gritty, who doesn't give a fuck, who's just there. And he's like, you know what? I'm going to come in and I'm going to win your title. I'm going to take it off your most decorated champion that you have, who's also your first champion. And that's exactly what he did. And plus, this is him coming out of WWE. This is him really being able to show what he could do, because he, short of really being in the Shield and having a couple of really good face runs in terms of a comedy bit, he never really had any solid heel runs in WWE. The one that I think he had on his own was just absolutely disastrous. Is the Bane stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't put that necessarily on him as to why that went awry, but yeah, so this was a chance for him to come into AEW and really prove himself and show what he was really capable of doing. Because he is far more than just doing the comedy shtick, although he's very good at the comedy shtick. This busted him out of that box.
Yeah, I think also it was the fact that, no offense, Jericho, he's a legend when most people will use the phrase with that. He's been around for a long time. He's 50. But it's that kind of thing of Moxley embodies what AEW is trying to be. That, like you said, grittiness. It's that kind of upstart, the guy who left WWE to make his mark and not be part of the machine or the product. So him becoming that really gave them the face to be like, this is what we want to be, as opposed to, and I mean, Jericho's there, but Jericho can also be seen as a money guy.
Well, I think at least for Jericho, we all know how he kind of works, right? Is he'll show up and he's really, really passionate for a while and he's really into it for like a year, year and a half sometimes. You know, he's just, because he gets a character that he's really excited about, or he gets something that he's really excited about and he wants to pursue it and he wants to see it through, and then he kind of sees it through and then he's like, yeah, okay, I'm good. Or he's there for every other season except the summer when he's on tour with Fozzy, or he wants something to do when he's not on tour with Fozzy, and so he tends to go back to wrestling when that happens. So I think a lot of people kind of were looking at Jericho and going, yeah, you're going to be there for a little while, but ultimately you're going to go back out in the summer and in the fall to tour with your band, and you're not necessarily going to be around, because that's what he did in WWE, right? Is he would be there for a while and then he would go off and tour, and he would be off TV and then he would come back. I think a lot of people were expecting him to do the same thing, especially this summer, because AEW was celebrating their 1 year anniversary. I think he was like all in, pardon the pun, for a year.
No, he was legit going to take some, he was going to do Fozzy tours and work AEW schedule.
That because AEW was only working 1 day a week.
That so was the plan.
It would be more accommodating.
He may have missed a show here or there, but the plan was to do that. Again, that was the plan. We had all these great things. We had Undertaker wrestling WrestleMania, the return of John Cena to WrestleMania. And then it happened. Then the COVID happened. And
then the world fell apart.
The world then changed. The world
stopped. And suddenly everybody that can be sent home is sent home. And everything just stops. Everything, like you said, changes. And all of TV production stops. All movie production stops. There's sports stop. There, I mean, think about it. In March, they had canceled the NBA, the NHL, MLB, and we're talking about doing football.
Well, I was going to say, I was out of town on a trip when the moment hit that I knew everything became serious, because it was like, you knew that the virus had come over to the U.S. You knew that numbers were starting to go. And you're kind of like, okay, this looks to be a thing, but I'm not sure. And then when I got to the place from out of town, they announced that the NBA was going on indefinite hiatus. And I was like, oh, that got serious.
Yeah, it went from like slowing down, pausing a couple games that night to a complete shutdown in a matter of like 2 hours.
And at that same moment, because I work for a university, we were getting ready for our conference tournament. So we had our first game of the conference tournament, and they had announced that, you know, oh, there won't be fans in the stands for it. Then, after the game, they announced that the Pac-12 tournament was canceled for the rest of the time, and they were not holding the NCAA tournament that year. With the NBA and NCAA both saying no, that's when I was like, oh, we just got real serious, because those are two huge money-making events. And Disney announced that it was closing.
You know
shit gets bad when Disney closes.
Yeah. So the traveling circus for pro wrestling stopped. We were 3 weeks out from WrestleMania, 4 weeks out, whatever it may be. We just came off of, Elimination Chamber?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just come off a chamber. I think we were actually closer to like 5, maybe 6 weeks.
No,
I think
it was March. No, March 12th, everything sort of stopped.
Yeah, so it's like 2 weeks after Elimination Chamber. Elimination Chamber was end of February.
No, this year was like, it was late mid March because we had the Saudi show as the February show.
Yeah, it was later this year.
It was like March 10th or 9th or something.
But either way, it forced some interesting changes in not only WWE and AEW, but pro wrestling as a whole, because indie shows stopped. They got shut down because they weren't allowed to have crowds. People weren't supposed to be out. WWE stopped traveling. They had to figure out where they were going to go because they decided to still run shows. When everybody else shut down, WWE was like, we're going to still do the thing. We're going to figure out how to do this safely, or as safe as we possibly can, but we're still going to continue to work for as long as they will let us. AEW made the similar decision. We're going to stop touring. We're going to bring everything to Jacksonville. And thankfully for both companies, they had a facility they could go to. WWE took their shows to the Performance Center.
Yeah.
They revamped the Performance Center as best they could to make it suitable for Raw and SmackDown and WrestleMania.
Yeah, we went from Raymond James to the PC in front of no crowd.
I mean, I remember sitting here and it's like, are they going to like cancel WrestleMania? Because that was the big debate. That was the huge debate and the back and forth of, are they going to cancel Mania? Or is that going to go ahead? Like, what? How are they even going to do that?
And we learned the road to WrestleMania changed from really short matches and heavy promos. And we got to see the Rumble again and other matches from the past on television shows like SmackDown and Raw. And we got Triple H on commentary the first time, which is great.
I missed Triple H on commentary.
Which was great. Which was great. And then we
Hunter, can we just talk about Hunter hamming it up?
Oh, God.
Can we get that back? Like, just Hunter, just being Hunter.
So I liked it. He came out, he was supposed to do, like, one match, the beginning with Cole. And then we're going to rotate someone in, and they're like, just stay out there.
They like you.
He became cameraman.
You know what it reminded me of? Do you remember that Raw in SmackDown, I think?
It was just where, Raw.
No. When the volcano erupted.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And that, like, week to week and a half where they could not get the people over for the shows because they were stuck in the UK because of the volcano. And it was like that show that it was like slapped together that day with literally whoever they could find.
They had to bring Taker in and stuff.
For Taker back. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's it. They just brought Taker back into it. I was like, oh yeah.
With his half-dyed hair grown out since Mania.
Yeah.
So, he didn't even have time to do his hair.
No, he didn't. So we learned in WrestleMania they can do different things. We learned of what once was just like the final deletion and all the Matt Hardy stuff to the term cinematic wrestling. That became a thing. We had the Firefly Funhouse between Bray Wyatt and John Cena, which was John Cena supposed to be having a match, and it's just a long extended promo.
We'll call it what it was. It was an experience.
It was an experience.
Yeah, it was an experience.
And then we had the Boneyard match with Taker and AJ.
Oh, man.
Which was Undertaker's final match.
Yeah, that got touched on, that'll get touched on in just a little bit, but yeah, the fact that we got a match where, like, we had seen Taker change a little bit in the past few years. You know, he hasn't been doing some of the things that Taker has wanted to be able to do within matches, but this match really allowed him to be able to put something special together. And I know we found out through the last ride, it wasn't exactly what he wanted, but it still turned out to be possibly one of the best matches of the year.
If he was going to go out on something, this is a good thing to go out on because for the first time in probably, I'm going to say, 5 years, we saw The Undertaker again. And that's not to slight him, but you got to see The Undertaker in all his glory.
Mm-hmm.
What made him special, what made him unique, what made him badass, all that talent, all that ability is in that match. It's all there. And you get to see it again.
We got Magics.
We got the American Badass back.
Got Mark Calloway because AJ Styles called out Mark Calloway, not The Undertaker, because he name dropped Michelle McCool and everyone went, wait, well.
That lead up. Holy shit.
Can we just talk about how AJ Styles called The Undertaker's wife basically a gold digging hoe on TV?
Yeah, so thinking back to it, he did that promo in front of a crowd, and that was like the last promo in front of the crowd.
Alan James, what the hell are you doing?
I think that's pretty much what Taker came back and did. And it was such a weird experience seeing that whole build because there were so many shots taken, and you almost wish that they would pipe in the crowd noise of going, oh, you know, like that.
And here's the thing. Months later, they would use the crowd noise. It's like, we didn't have it back then.
But because they were still trying to figure it out in this period, like, it was, is this temporary? Is this permanent? What is this? We don't know. Like, they're still desperately trying to figure out what they're doing and how they're even going to do Mania. So, like, they're just, we're going to get through the next couple weeks. We're going to get through Mania, and then we're going to figure this shit out. So everybody just sit tight. But yeah, it's like, in terms of the cinematic wrestling, one, Jeremy Borash, quality hire by WWE.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because he was behind at least one of these matches, if not both of them. Again, like I said, this was the best way for The Undertaker to go out. And I'm going to be completely honest. I don't know if I want to imagine what the Firefly Funhouse match would have been between John Cena and Bray Wyatt had it been in front of a crowd.
I don't think it would have been the Firefly Funhouse match. I think it would have just been a match.
Yeah, I think the pandemic gave them the opportunity to be able to do something different. As we've seen with a couple of matches since that they've used cinematic for, it really allows you to take chances that you wouldn't normally have if you're live in a crowd and don't have the ability to, like, stop and cut or anything.
Yeah, it plays to, especially for characters like The Undertaker and The Fiend. I know they're not the fan of the stop-start, but it plays to those characters so well because, like you said, you can stop, you can make those cuts, you can tell a different story visually with the cinematic matches. Like, the Boneyard match was just AJ and Taker showing up at this quote-unquote cemetery and beating the shit out of each other. There was no ref. There was no nothing. There was just the two of them and a bunch of druids and the club and some other people fighting, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It had this level of realism and grit to it that we had not necessarily seen in WWE before. It's been done in other promotions, but the way that they applied it here was really nice. On the flip side, the cinematic match plays so well to Bray Wyatt in The Fiend because I feel like we got a glimpse inside of Bray Wyatt's mind with the Firefly Funhouse match and the way that it was presented and the way that it was done and everything, because we saw different incarnations of Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, you saw a lot of character development.
You saw... Well, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you get to build off of Bray Wyatt. You get to have experiences that you wouldn't normally have where, yeah, like the Firefly Funhouse. Or, you know, even just recently with the Inferno match.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you film that or you can do that live. Mm-hmm. And yet it gives you this lasting image where you watch it happen and you're sitting there like, wait, what? Like, this has given wrestling a different dynamic to be able to work with in terms of doing these kinds of matches and filming it and being able to set a story the way you want it to be, as opposed to, all right, we have people here. How do we work it to make it look okay?
Yeah, it's what WWE has started doing that I really appreciate, and I've said this before, is that they are now taking advantage of the fact that they can pre-tape some of this stuff, that they can produce it how they want to produce it. And like you said, that image of Bray Wyatt burning in the middle of the ring as Randy Orton stands over him. You never could have done that in front of a live crowd.
No.
Never. Not in a million years. Could not have pulled that off.
No.
But here, despite people's problems with the dummy, they pulled it off. And what it has done for Randy Orton, what it has done for Alexa Bliss, what it's going to do for Bray Wyatt when he decides to come back, is incredible. Because it's given Randy a whole new dimension where we always knew it was there, but we've never gotten to see it. It's like Taker, the Boneyard match, the very, very end where he's like, yeah, I'm not going to kill you. You know, and they kind of hug, and then Taker Game of Thrones boots AJ's face into the grave and then buries him alive. When was the last time we saw that Undertaker? It's been forever. It's probably been, what, 10, 15 years, I would wager, since we've seen that Undertaker, maybe longer?
17 years.
So it's stuff like that they can do, and that doesn't necessarily have to do with, like, the cinematics, but it does, because it takes the characters in a different direction. I love that they're embracing it, and as much as I want crowds back, as much as I want it to go back to normal, I would love for them to be able to find a way to make cinematic matches work with crowds, and I don't know if they can, because I really like what the cinematic matches have done for WWE as a whole, because it's been a challenge for them that I feel like they've risen to. Because let's all be honest, okay? They've tried cinematics in the past. The House of Horrors match, the Final Deletion match, several others. It didn't work out the best for them.
WWE's had a hit or miss. Boiler Room Brawl worked. Other things
Boiler Room Brawl worked.
But other things haven't. They've tried, they failed. Some hits, some misses. It's what you do. But it's helped some characters, it's hurt some characters. I think there's more benefit to it when the moment calls for it.
Yeah, not every match can be a cinematic match, but it's like this stuff between Bray and Braun, where they fought in a swamp, when they did Money in the Bank at WWE HQ.
Yeah, God, that was this year. Like, they had 16 people running through HQ.
Two matches at the exact same time.
Because Jesus. Why not?
fight for the briefcases hanging above the roof of Tian Towers.
Because why not? Because why can't you? It's there. Use it. It's something different. It's them trying to break it out of the box. You know, it's like, good on them for trying it. It may have been a complete disaster, or in this case, it worked.
It did work.
And they
had people thrown off the roof, for God's sake.
And we still, they still have nicer conference rooms in my office, and I'm jealous. But
but yeah, it allowed them to experiment. And in a year where you need to experiment things, they tried stuff. AEW tried things. They had their Stadium Stampede where they fought in whatever the Jacksonville Stadium's called. I forget.
I can't remember. Yeah, Jaguar Stadium.
Jaguar Stadium. We'll go with Jaguar Stadium. They fought there, and they did all that. And they've taken advantage of the cinematics. And it's worked somewhat. It's allowed people to be more creative in an environment where you're used to just going from town to town. Now you're no longer the circus. You're a television show at times. Before you go on, Impact, they did some whole reality TV house thing for a while.
Yeah, Wrestler House.
Wrestler House. So allow them to do some cinematic stuff too. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, when it comes to the cinematic match, I think it gave them freedom to be able to experiment with stuff. But I think we all talked about it at the same time, that there was this line that it seemed like they were getting, the entire industry was getting really close to overusing it. And yeah. I think they realized it and pulled back a bit, which was nice, because it started with like the Boneyard match and the Firefly Funhouse. And then we had Stadium Stampede and then
Money in the Bank.
And NXT had Gargano and Ciampa in the warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, we were starting to get to that point where we were like, okay, yeah, you guys have cinematic matches, but doesn't mean everything has to be.
No,
and then,
it wasn't the warehouse match. It was Cole and Dream. They fought in the parking lot.
Well, I was going to say Gargano and Ciampa was before that.
Mm-hmm.
But where they had the hour long show.
Yeah, but that was more wrestling than over dramatics.
Yeah, but yeah, the parking lot brawl as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was that, like, we had a lot of it. And now I think they're being very strategic in the way that they're using it with, like, the Inferno, with Extreme Rules and their use of it there.
And whatever, the Halloween thing for Halloween Havoc with Dexter and
oh, yeah, Dexter and
Cameron Grimes.
Their House of Horrors match.
But they pulled away from cinematic when the restrictions in Florida sort of backed up a little bit. You could do more. You could do things like create the Thunderdome and, you know, bring in some fans like AEW has. So it's like WWE created a whole virtual environment for fans during this pandemic. After learning that the PC was just sort of like, okay, we can bring in some WWE guys to sit in the crowd and... Well, then, you know, people complained about that, and then, you know, spikes happen, and it's like, let's just bring in people virtually. Let's just start with that and make that a thing.
Can we just say, though, the MVP of having the performance people in the crowd was Shotzi Blackheart?
Yeah.
Yes.
100%.
She was 100% every time.
She was there. She was going for it. And like I said, like, the PC was one of those things where it's, is this temporary or is this permanent? Is this, because at the time that they went to the BC, when all of this started, nobody knew or expected this to last as long as it has. Like, you kind of saw it in other countries, and it's like, okay, maybe 3-4 months tops kind of thing, depending on how we handle this. We're in what, month 9, 10, as we record this?
I remember conversations we had. Rock was saying by August, by SummerSlam, we were going to have crowds again.
And to be fair.
We got close.
AEW has crowds now in August.
Right.
To be fair.
Right. But I think also at the same time, we didn't recognize not only what was happening outside of wrestling with other parts of this virus and like how it was going to move, how it would spike. And I think a lot of people just in general underestimated it, and now we're seeing how vicious this truly is.
Right, and things were trending for August, September, for where it was going to be. That was where it was trending. Think, like, all reports going, this is going to be a thing, and then WWE got its talent, decided to have some cases, and it made WWE rethink things, where it's like, maybe we don't do it. So they came up with the Thunderdome and became more, we're going to pipe in noise and everything like that, because they legitimately want crowds. They want it when they can do it. You can see it with what NXT does. They bring in
family, friends.
Family and friends. The regulars. They brought in the Full Sail regulars, we can call them, too.
Yeah.
The people they know who would be at the shows every week. That's who's in the crowd every week in NXT right now, is the people they know.
Well, and go ahead, Lindsay.
No, I was just going to say, by the way, in this period, can we give props to WWE? Because as stuff is getting shut down everywhere, including in Florida, where they did a hard lockdown in Florida, they just slid the governor a little bit of money and, you know, bada bing, bada bang, bada boom. They got wrestling declared as an essential thing in Florida to keep going.
That's what political donations will get you.
Yeah.
So that was a boon for not only WWE, but AEW as well, because both of them were able to keep working because as the Florida shutdown loomed, AEW actually moved. Remember, they moved their production to Georgia.
Yeah, to the QT Marshall Cody School for 6 weeks.
Of yeah, tapings. The Nightmare Factory.
Yeah. But yeah, so we had all these things and all the good things. There was one positive. It was negative for us, the fans, because she's not on our television right now. But after Money in the Bank, Becky Lynch announced she was pregnant.
The moment they announced that was probably one of my favorites in 2020.
Asuka's reaction was...
It was great, and I liked the way that they handled the championship with it as well.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that it was revealed that was the briefcase. It wasn't the contract inside. It was actually the women's title. And I liked Asuka just losing her mind about that at first. And then Becky dropping the line, you know, you go and be a warrior, I'm going to go and be a mother. And you just see Asuka's face because she didn't know. Like, wait, what?
Like, Asuka looks like the sweetest person in the world.
She was like to get a chant going with no one there. It was amazing.
She's like lifting Becky up. She's like, oh my god, I'm so proud of you. Way to get pregnant.
And remember, Asuka was a heel at this moment before.
That's when you just drop all pretense and you're like, this is my friend and she's having a baby and isn't that wonderful?
It was so great to see that we actually saw a true moment happen in the ring. Not something that was, I mean, yes, the title change was a stage thing, but just the reaction was pure emotion, pure joy. And it was so nice to see with everything going on.
But we did lose Becky. Charlotte went out in this time. She took some time off. Like, that was the really interesting thing that with the product was it was very much catch as catch can for a while, because in this time they lost a lot of their key performers mm-hmm. that drive the product, because essentially they told everybody, if you do not want to come to work, if you do not feel comfortable coming to work, do not come, stay home. And so you have people like Roman Reigns off to stay home because he recently had cancer. He just had twins.
He bailed out on WrestleMania film day.
Because mm-hmm. he wasn't comfortable. You had Kevin Owens back and forth. You had Sami Zayn bow out. Becky Lynch went home to be a mom. Charlotte bowed out in this time. Bray Wyatt actually stepped out for about a month to 6 weeks because his girlfriend / significant other / wife, I'm not sure who they are, had a baby.
His partner
had a baby. So he stepped out until he was sure that it was safe for him to come back.
Yeah.
And you lost people in NXT as well. It's like Pete Dunne and a lot of the UK people that they were bringing over at that point got stuck over in the UK because they were on lockdown and there were travel restrictions. And so you couldn't have the likes of Toni Storm and Pete Dunne and Rhea Ripley and Imperium and Walter and everybody over here working the shows because they were at home and they couldn't get over.
Speaking of NXT in the UK, they shut down production for 6 months.
Yeah.
Well, and the travel restrictions domestically and internationally had a huge effect on championships, too. Mm-hmm. Like, Jordan Devlin had just won the Cruiserweight title. Well, they had to find a way to, you know, make that championship, appearable. So they brought in, you know, they had the tournament. And
crown another champion.
Yeah, and the funny thing is it's now it's the Cruiserweight title, but it's like, I'm just waiting for Devlin to come back.
And he's back on NXT UK TV claiming he is the Cruiserweight champion. You mentioned people can't travel. AEW lost a bunch of pack. He was stuck in Europe for six, 7 months. Yeah. They lost a bunch of the girls because they were in Japan, the Stardom girls who would come over. They couldn't travel. Riho and Yuka and the like, they couldn't come over.
Well, and then don't forget, this was also when a company lost their main champion because of this. Because part of it was, this is the reason why Tessa, for Impact, got stripped of her title, was she didn't want to travel from Mexico.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Well, it plays a role.
It played a role. It played a role. And for Impact, they, so we talked about what WWE and AEW did. They continued to tape just with no crowds in Nashville. ROH went on hiatus. MLW went on hiatus throughout the fall, till the fall. So it's like every company had struggles in this point, and some companies took some backlash for releasing people on a Black Wednesday.
Oh, that was a dark day.
Yeah, that was not a good day at all. Because not only did people get released, but you had office people get furloughed, I think, for like 3-4 months, something like that, as a cost-saving measure to try and essentially stop the bleeding, because they've lost, and they've continued to lose, ticket revenues. They lost WrestleMania, the gate for everything involved in that, which is a tremendous amount of money for them.
But as we've mentioned, like, they're not the only company that's done it.
Yeah.
No,
Disney
not.
Disney continues to do it. ESPN, in the last 6 weeks, had let go 300 people.
Because Disney can't get the parks open full blast again.
Nope.
No, the California parks are still closed. Florida is operating, you know, maybe half capacity, if that. But I mean, like, for ESPN, look at the way they're having to do games now. They're, you know, they don't send the full crew to these games anymore. You send basically what you need to film there. And then, like WWE, your commentators are at home.
For TNT, for basketball? One dude's doing, they're doing it from their house. They're doing it in their basements. And you're going from there.
Yeah, like college basketball. Dick Vitale just has a sound booth at home. And he's recording from there.
Yeah, that's how you gotta do it now, because you can't, the less amount of people you need, you send. And announcers at this stage, with the technology as it is.
Well, I mean, look at NXT. Like, Beth films off-site. Joseph
is there.
Ronaldo, when he was there, was filming off-site.
Yeah.
But I will give them credit. You didn't know that unless they ever did a camera shot and showed you. Like,
well, there was that one.
There was
program.
The one time that you saw the table.
Takeover where you saw you had fill-ins. And, yeah.
But I meant audio-wise. So well. They flow together in this new environment so well that it's like, you wouldn't know that they're not sitting next to each other.
Well, early on you did, as they've gone on. Yeah, it's gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
But the one great thing that we got while all this happened, we got Raw Underground.
For 6 glorious weeks.
And we got the great faction that was going to change the way WWE does things in Retribution.
You know...
They tried. They tried something.
They A for effort, man. I'm giving a thumbs up with an A for effort. How many times have you seen somebody chuck a Molotov cocktail on WWE TV? Not a lot, no. But that being said, there was such promise and they kind of ruined it.
And then on the other side, AEW introduced a TNT championship with a
title.
With a heft on the belt.
You know, I don't necessarily have the right to comment on such matters because I'm not a fan of AEW. I don't necessarily watch it, but you could have waited.
You could have waited till the belt was ready.
They announced the title. They knew. Yes, we know the world fell apart while this was going to be debuted. But at the same time, you could have found a way then introduce the way they did.
Or the better part of it, don't make, you know, it a big deal. Like, this isn't what the full form of the belt looks like. Just go with it. Just run with it.
Like, here's my thing with it. If they aren't operating, you find a plan B, because there is somebody out there who probably is. Or if those guys really, really, really want to finish it, if they're willing to take the money to do it, they would do it. Or you just delay it. Like, you just go, you know what, the title's not done. We're just gonna hold on it. Just, you know, just until we see where this goes and we can get the title completed. Because I think they just got the title completed, like, in what, August?
Yeah, it was like 6-7 weeks after they crowned the champion.
So it's like you could have held. And I understand they wanted to bring it to TV. I understand that they were trying to do something and they were trying to generate interest, and I applaud them for it. But it's like, it's a really bad look to put a half completed anything on TV.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be a reality show like Cake or Dress or whatever, or title in the case of wrestling. Because especially since you're still in your first year, it's kind of embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Well, and the fact of what it felt like was they're going to debut the title, and then there was immediate backlash on social media, and it's like all of a sudden that's when they're like, oh, wait, it's not finished, though. Like, then why did you throw it out?
Yeah, because, like, here's the thing. WWE, I think, had just debuted...
The 24/7.
The 24/7, and then I think they revamped a couple of the NXT titles, and yeah, they had those done and on TV, and then AEW comes out and says, we're debuting the TNT Championship, and it's not done. Or at least that's the excuse that we're given, and it's like, okay, but WWE had their shit done and together, and I understand that they probably put it in months ago, and they've had the titles for months now,
yeah,
prior to the pandemic, but still, it's a bad look. Right?
Yeah.
It's just a bad look.
WWE had the IC title sitting there for months, and they finally went to it. So, all of this we would just talk about, that's where we were and what we went through, but let's talk about where we are now. Talk about how no one was wondering, like, how long are we going to be here? So after running in the PC for, 4 months? Mm-hmm. They completely redid the PC and made it the Capitol Wrestling Center for actual television production now.
They moved out of Full Sail for NXT, and they're now in the Capitol Wrestling Center, going live there. They're running events there when they need to.
Mm-hmm.
WWE moved Raw and SmackDown out of the PC, which was a smart move. They moved them permanently into the Thunderdome, which was in Orlando and is now currently in Tampa.
AEW is now in a filming bi-weekly at Daly's Place. They have been, and now they're bringing in fans.
You know, they've hired, AEW hired many former WWE talents that included The Revival, Matt Hardy.
Brody. Miro, among few. They've brought in some people from New Japan,
They had a special appearance by Zack Ryder.
They had for 5 weeks. Crazy.
I mean,
go ahead.
Impact picked up a couple people as well.
Impact picked up a few people, and AEW and Impact are now kind of working together in some weird way, with Kenny Omega actually appearing weekly on the television show. I guess as a favor for Don Callis. I don't know what that whole deal is, but. And then the biggest news in the last 4 weeks is Sting is now going to be an active wrestler again in 2021?
Why?
Well, you know, his ghost that he was chasing decided to hang it up permanently and go back to Texas and be with his wife and children.
Let's call it what it is. He's going to go be fat and happy.
He's going to go be fat and happy, which I think he already is. I think he's already gained the 10 or 15 or 20 pounds or whatever it is that he generally puts
Remember,
on.
Remember, Lindsay, he gained the COVID-19,
and he's perfectly happy with it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, The Undertaker retired this year. He finally said, enough is enough. And
enough is enough. It's time for a change.
Pretty much. I think, honestly, it's not what he wanted. Not fully. I think, at least for... And this is me projecting onto him. I feel like if he had had his druthers, if they had had their druthers, it would have been in front of a crowd. It would have been live. Which it was, but it would have been in a much grander setting than what it was. But they did the best that they could for him, and they put together a very lovely tribute for him over the course of a month on the network. We got to say goodbye to The Undertaker. We got to say hello to Mark Calloway. We got to meet him really for the first time ever. We got to kind of see behind the black hat and who this guru of a man really is.
We got Taker stories.
We got Taker stories.
We got Taker on TikTok.
We have Taker on TikTok,
on
Cameo.
Yeah.
On Instagram. He's on the Insta now. He's on the Twitter now. He's everywhere. Waiting for that Twitch channel. Oh, wait. No, that's not going to happen. Because you can't be a WWE wrestler on Twitch anymore.
Well, he's not a WWE wrestler. He can do twitch.tv/Mark Calloway.
I would love for him to start a Twitch channel. I would just love for him to do it, just for him to, like, get on there and stare at a camera. No. The man would have 100,000 subs in 5 minutes.
The Undertaker going, thank you for the sub. Hey, thank you for the 10 gifted.
10 gifted. What does that mean?
What?
Like, I would just...
That's
I would...
lit.
Oh, and if you get a tier 3 sub, he will have to do the eye roll.
Yeah, he has to do the eye roll. I'm serious, though. He could sit there and just tell wrestling stories, right? And he could just talk about stuff. And he would. He would have, like, he'd probably be the most subscribed to person on Twitch in 5 minutes.
If you can get a level 5 hype train, he does the pose.
I mean, we know he has the setup for it. We've seen him on enough Zoom calls now that it's like, hey, he's got a webcam. I think he's got a mic. And what inspires us and the best was the fact that they had Undertaker and Michelle and the youngest daughter all playing video games in quotations together in a commercial, and somebody had to teach Mark Calloway how to hold a controller, because God bless, that man does not know how to do it.
I think more than anything, the craziness of this year is the fact that the man who has held kayfabe so sacred has let the curtain slip, and we got to actually see this goofy, goofy Texan for what he really is.
And I love him more for it, honestly. I think I love Mark Calloway more than I love The Undertaker. Is that wrong? It's like, oh my god, you're an idiot, and I love you. What the hell?
But I just love, like, we do get these, like, he's playing video games, and it's like, Rock has the clip of him from the charity thing years ago doing the "Hi, I'm Mark Calloway," but it was such a rare thing, that's why it was so novel. Now it's like, no, it's Mark! It's just Mark!
I think what's hilarious is also in the tributes that they did for Taker in the varying episodes where we got the docuseries of The Last Ride, and that was probably the closest to Mark we got in that whole series. We got the Stone Cold interviews, part 1 and 2. We got the thing with him and Kane. You see the varying stages of kayfabe with him and how he's still kind of holding on to it a little bit, where he doesn't really let it quite go. Like, it's to me, it was always fascinating because, like, in the first Austin interview, he lets his guard down a lot. And he gets really, really comfortable in that, and he starts talking. And then in the second one, he's much more guarded, much more, at least in the beginning. And even throughout, he's very sort of almost kind of like half in, half out, because you can just see it in the way that he's sitting and everything like that, that he's not quite as comfortable. And then there's like the formal interview between him and Kane, which I'm going to be honest, I still need more from that, because I know there's more, and God damn it, I want to see it. I want however long that was filmed. I want the uncut version of those two idiots just sitting there together.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were tangents, damn it. I know there were.
But, like, this year, like, we've talked about a lot. Like, as bad as this year has felt, we've just talked about a lot of fun stuff we got out of this year, which is a great thing. This year sucked a lot for a variety of reasons, as we've mentioned. But there's been a lot of fun things that happened this year, which is good.
I don't mean this to sound like a kiss-ass or a bootlicker or anything like that, because that's not the intent. But when everything else shut down, when everything else closed, when everything else went away and we were all trapped in our houses or our apartments or wherever we live, or we were trapped at our jobs, or we were just stuck, right? Because that's what we've been. We've just been stuck.
Brent's been stuck in the corner.
Brent's been stuck in the corner.
They're still fresh at this point? I mean, you've been stuck in the same corner. You think they've been stale by now?
He has Tupperware.
Yeah, I have Tupperware, and I do have Uber Eats that helps deliver to the corner. So.
Ah, okay. They can find
Uber Eats, man. That's like the shout out of the century, man, for the pandemic.
Uber Eats and Zoom are the two things that had a financial boom.
But anyway, aside from Uber Eats and Zoom being the constants, the one bright spot, the one thing that kind of kept you going was wrestling in the form of AEW and WWE, and the fact that they continued on. Because without them, I don't know if any of us would have been able to maintain our sanity. And yeah, it was not always the best, right? Like, the days leading up to Mania were hard. The days coming out of Mania were hard. That whole stretch in the summer before WWE went to the Thunderdome was really difficult because you're just trying, right? There's no crowds. They're in a tiny ass little building. It doesn't look like it's supposed to. It doesn't feel like it's supposed to. The stars that you love aren't there. It just was hard, but it was there. And the fact that so many people in WWE and AEW did it because they wanted to do it. It wasn't they were forced. It was a lot of people were, we want to put this on. We want to do this for everybody out there that's maybe struggling, that maybe needs this to get to tomorrow. As wrong as that sounds, it's, well, I want to see what happens next, so let's keep going type thing, especially when you're alone by yourself. It's difficult. It's really, really difficult to be just on your own with no other life force around you. So it's like, it's that one constant. It's that one thing that kind of drives you and keeps you going. And it's that one little piece of enjoyment after you've gone through your entire Hulu and Netflix catalog twice. And you've run out of episodes of The Mandalorian to watch. God, just solid from Disney on The Mandalorian, by the way. Just thank you for getting that out so quickly. Anyway, but yeah, I just want to thank the wrestling industry as a whole. I want to thank AEW. I want to thank WWE for continuing on. I know it was difficult for them. I know we were not always the best to entertain. We were kind of assholes about it. But they kept going. And I applaud their efforts and I applaud what they were doing. And they're figuring it out and they're working it out. And with any luck, wrestling will get crowds back. And in 2021, we'll maybe see wrestling return to more normal. I think that's what I'd like to see in 2021 is we get those crowds back and we can go back to wrestling and we can go to shows again and they start touring and they start traveling and WrestleMania is in an 80,000 seat building with 80,000 people in it.
That's the hope. That's the dream. And we'll see if we can get there. I'm looking forward. As interesting as 2020 was, 2021, it could be a lot better. I hope. I think that's the hope. Normalcy, hopefully, is a thing as we venture on. Next week, we're going to make predictions on 2021, so that should be fine.
Well, I mean, we've already had a massive plague in 2020, so
who knows what 2021 will bring?
God, hopefully, be a new bingo card.
The end of the plague. Please be the end of the plague in 2021. How about that?
I think for me, one of the things I'm looking forward to is when it came to 2020, like we talked about as part of this podcast, we saw innovations and changes that wouldn't have normally happened in the regular span of wrestling, with the cinematic wrestling, with the Capitol Wrestling Center, with some of the things that were brought about by necessity, in a sense, because of the pandemic. I want to see what they can do with it moving forward. And also, I want to see what they can do with some of the talent they have moving forward, because some people have had a chance to move and kind of been given a chance to shine. Some people got injured also during this, but, like, you know, we saw Karrion Kross come into NXT and now he's just coming back.
Mm-hmm.
He had just won the title, but it's like now going into 2021, we get to really see kind of what he has to offer with someone like Rhea. She's had a year where she was champion and then she lost to Charlotte. But now they've got her as kind of one of the really big tent poles of NXT. And it's like, if they want to, they can move her to the main roster. Or she has enough talent around her in NXT because they've been elevating people and they've been giving them opportunities during this time that it's like the doors are wide open. You've got, you know, Dakota there. You've got Raquel there. You've got a lot of people that are getting opportunities. And 2021 could be their year to shine. Mm-hmm. So I'm really looking forward to see what can come from that.
It's going to be an interesting 2021, I think.
I think so. I hope so. I hope it's interesting in a good way, not interesting in a bad way. Because interesting in a bad way is just no fun, and I'm not sure any of us could.
I don't want to do this year again. Nope. 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 Nope.
I don't think any of us want to go back and do this again.
Nope.
And
not a thing. Nope.
I remember when 2016, we were like, there's no way things could be. Oh, God.
Yeah, we'll just leave that alone.
I will say, I think the one thing that makes me supremely happy in general is that despite everything, the good, the bad, the ugly. Please stop sending me election flyers. I know there's an election in like a week. Please, please
tangent.
Stop
we're just going
texting
on
me and tweeting me and emailing me and calling me and filling my mailbox full of flyers. I get it. I know. And yes, I know I have not turned in my ballot yet. Chill the fuck out about it. I have till the 5th. Anyway, despite all of that, we can still hope, right? And just, by the way, just to follow up the election stuff, I live in Georgia, in case anybody is not aware. We have a runoff election in January. Save us. Please, just save us. Anyway, the fact that we can still hope, the fact that there is still hope, I feel like is a really positive sign. And I think in general, I think a lot of us had learned a lot of lessons this year about and kind of had a chance to reevaluate priorities and where specific things and people and priorities in general stand in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And have a chance to understand what's important and what's not important. And so I'm kind of hoping coming into 2021 that maybe that reassessment will change how we do things as a whole. But we'll have to see.
We'll have to see, but I think we're done.
I think we're done for 2020. Guys, thank you so much for a crazy, wonderful year. As always, thank you so much for listening and tuning in, and we just appreciate the hell out of you. And we hope you guys have a great new year, a safe new year, a fun new year. Please, if you're going to go out, wear your masks, socially distant, stay safe, don't do anything stupid-ish. But with that, USS Plugs and Plug Away.
We return live for CB Radio Saturday night in 2021. CBRadio.com, GreaterTheGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, Wrestle Talk Radio returns live, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review their best match, moment, et cetera, and give predictions for 2021. Monday is the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. And this show returns live for the first time in 3 weeks this coming Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern. We get to review New Year's Evil.
Woo-hoo!
It should be a fun time had by all. We're going to make predictions for 2021 next week on the show. It's Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's Rack Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can support the channel by clicking that purple rectangular button that sits below the screen at twitch.tv/WTRLive. You can also use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. #ad because we're a hashtag Epic Partner, and it's also in the Epic Game Store. Among Us is in the Epic Game Store, so you can buy it with code RocketSock.
Brent, you got some plug?
Yeah, you can find me on the internet on Twitter at Kane Kittens. You can also find me here on the network Saturday nights on TV Radio, as well as on Thursday and Saturdays for Fortnite with Friends.
Yes, Fortnite with Friends is returning live on Saturday. We'll be live again with it. That Saturday was just a thing we had to deal with.
I got drunk. Sorry.
No, it was Harper. Brody.
That too.
That sort of broke around there. We just didn't feel like going on air talking about it.
Yeah.
And I got drunk.
And she got drunk. But it was more the Harper thing.
And, well, if you want to follow my ramblings on the internet, if you want to follow my general stupidity, you can follow me at Linsward, LANSWRD, on most of my social medias and on Twitch. Which I do stream occasionally on there as well. I'm going to see if I can get back into it, but we'll have to see how that goes. And also, while you're checking things out, check out mbgfilmsyoutube.com/mbg1211 and all the other fine programming on wildtalkradio.com. So for Rock, for Brent, I'm Lindsay Ward. I'm wishing you a safe and happy new year, and we will see y'all in 2021. Till then, bye!